Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Mean Green Nation podcast, and we're live streaming, so you can see us right here. Look at Greg. He looks beautiful. I look beautiful. All UNT people are beautiful. I think that's like in the brochure, right? They looked at it. It's like diverse. Everybody's smiling. No one is sad about anything. That is the case, and as you can see right here, right? Folks, Conference USA Tournament this week. Greg, you got to see the venue. Was it amazing? Are you hyped about it? Everybody says that it's the worst thing they've ever seen. Just like, I think everybody's overreacting, right? They're just reacting, maybe. What did you think? I trust your word over randoms.
I saw the venue.
Yes.
It's a nice place. Jerry Jones does it big. He does it grand. It looks good on the inside. The layout, I didn't really think there was a bad seat. If you're sitting behind the basket, it didn't look bad to me. All the pictures that you see floating out there on the Twitter sphere, you see a lot of them from the press box, the media. That's right. Above the courts, like further above, not right behind the baskets. And then a lot of people were doing the panoramic shot, and that doesn't really paint the view of where you're sitting at. So, I thought the layout was fine. I don't think there'll be, a depth perception issue for the shooters out there. I like the fact that you can walk around and you have different vantage points to see the games from, since it's a practice facility for football. So, that interesting point to it. I think the one issue is going to be the sound. When they were practicing earlier today, they didn't have the curtain completely stretched all the way across the facility. I know it's not going to go up into the stands, but they still had that 20 yards or so on each side of the ends of the court where it didn't completely go across. I don't know how they're going to do that, if that's something that they're going to have for tomorrow or not, but you could definitely hear, I was sitting on one end, you could definitely hear what was going on the other side of the court. You could really hear when the horn went off. That was extremely loud. So,
the curtain that you're talking about, that's supposed to be soundproofing of it. And I don't know. Everybody's skeptical about that. And there's only one way to find out. I don't know if they tested any of this beforehand.
I'm going to say probably no.
Here's the thing, right? If you hold this at any other place, right, if you host it at the Super Pit, if you host it again in Murfreesboro, if you host it in Birmingham, it is no different than any other conference tournament that's going on right now. No other place is doing something this unique. Maybe you can say, look at the Big Ten, right? They moved their whole schedule around so they can play in Madison Square Garden because it's Madison Square Garden. There are plenty of arenas they can play in, but they wanted to play in a unique venue, right? So Conference USA is doing their part there, right? We all like to complain about the league and say, why don't we have a great TV deal? What are you doing? For their part, Judy and everybody else do a decent job of trying. It's not always successful, but they're at least trying, right? All right, we're going to stream it on Facebook. Okay, we're going to put it on Twitter. Let's look at BN Sport. Let's see what they got. Stadium. Whatever that is, it used to be Campus Sports Network. We're going to try something. Hey, let's try to do it at the Star. That's a unique venue, right? People are going to talk about it. People are already talking about it, right? They're like, hey, at the Star, there's going to be a basketball. Come out and watch some basketball. At the very least, we'll talk about it. And that's something. And so I give the conference all the credit there, right? Good job, guys. If it's weird, they won't do it again, right? But it's not... It's not the worst idea ever.
The location, you're not going to beat the amenities around the Star, the Ford Center. You're not going to do that. The hotels that are right there within walking distance, the shops, the restaurants, even the setup outside the Star when you first, the main entrance, almost like a little party city for lots of festivities, things, events that kids can do with your family. That setup, it is really nice for the conference tournament. It's people don't see Frisco and think destination, but it's set up like a destination.
Yeah. So like I said, I can't really say anything bad about it other than the execution. Like, I mean, up to the point where they can control it. Basketball has been held in football places before, but they've never had this dual setup, right? So that's going to be the unique thing. They got a soundproofing curtain. If that fails, that fails, then that's going to be the talk. Maybe they'll improve it or something like that later on, but for right now, I'm not going to judge it and complain about it until we have actually seen a game. And we'll figure that out tomorrow at, 11:30, the first women's game? We'll definitely know, because there are not going to be a whole lot of people at the women's basketball tip, right? Just the way right. It is. So we'll figure it out. And it gives them something to figure out as they do Facebook, the first round games. They'll have 8 games right that day to figure it out. They have a whole 24 hours to figure it out. And then by the time Saturday comes around, there's only going to be 1 game and it won't even matter anymore. Yeah. Yeah. Does that make sense? I'm going to go ahead and tweet out the streaming link. If you're listening on the podcast, yes, we streamed this one live. Because like Conference USA, maybe we're trying something new. We'll see what happens right here.
Big things for a big week.
Yeah, big week. We're trying something new.
You see, Adam gets these grand ideas that's what I always do. They just don't turn out so grand in the end.
I mean, the thing is that I always have to remember that just little old Mean Green, right? Little old North Texas. And, that's it. That's fine. We'll do it. We'll do it. We don't have Longhorn Network, but we got MeanGreenNation.com. We're streaming live. We don't have Heisman Trophy winners, Football Hall of Famers here, but we got a couple of guys. And that's going to be good enough. Okay, so let's actually talk about the tournament, the actual games, the things that are happening. Number one, our teams, right? The ones that we care about. Mm-hmm. University of North Texas is haven't been playing well, and they're going to take on Louisiana Tech. Talented team, expected to do good things. They haven't been playing well. I really, I was for Conference USA report, right? We started that one because nobody else is talking about Conference USA. Wanted to talk about Conference USA. For Conference USA report, I wrote a couple of things about Louisiana Tech. I watched 2 of their games, right, at UTEP. I even went to their game here against UTSA. And they look terrible. It looked like, let's give it to Jacoby Boykins. Also, let's never play defense. Those are their 2 tenets of their team. And I feel good about our chances against them, but for the fact that we've looked terrible this last week. Also, Greg, how should I feel?
You should feel concerned. Louisiana Tech is a dangerous team. Like you said, both of us, we haven't been playing good. We had the nice win against UTSA, then you turn around and you lose to UTEP. That was a disappointing loss. Louisiana Tech, they lost 4 in a row. And like you said, they struggle on the defensive end. But where they're scary is on the offensive end. And they're scary because they can make a high percentage 3. There's a couple guys, Boykins, Gene, those guys can hit 3s. And then you add in the 2 freshmen, Archibald and what's his name? Anthony Drugi, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Yeah,
so that guy. Those 2 freshmen that, scorched us back in January, they've got weapons, and you should be concerned. Going back and rewatching the film, the game back in January, I came away a little bit more concerned than I thought I was going to be. I still feel like, North Texas has a shot, but you look at everybody has Louisiana Tech favored. You look at a lot of the big analytical sites, KenPom, they're picking Louisiana Tech to win by 2. That's what most sites have. And it's because of the talent on their team. They're still a talented team. Yes, they've had a disappointing year, but anytime you lose a guy like Bracey, who was a freshman of the year in Conference USA last year, he's been out with a back injury. He practiced today. Maybe he plays some minutes. I don't see him as a significant person in tomorrow's game. But then you lose a guy like Jalen Harris, who he was averaging 15 points as well, and he decides to transfer midseason. That kind of throws your season off there when you lose 2 of those guys. But like I said, they still have enough weapons to beat North Texas. They've beaten us once. Both teams shot poorly in that game. We missed a ton of open looks. They missed a ton of open looks. So I'm concerned about the game. I think there's plenty to be concerned about, but there is some hope. There is hope.
I like hope. I think there's a good chance. I don't like what, like I said, I don't like what they're bringing to the table. I don't think they have anything close to what they need to be the team that everybody thought they were going to be. Does that make sense? I mean, Jacoby Boykins, good. All right. And all the other dudes you list on the team, they're trying to figure out. They have too many new guys. Jacoby Boykins last year was like the second option. Now he's the first and second option. Now there's another guy, I forget his name, but he's scoring enough for him. But, I don't know. They don't look like they execute to the level they need to beat the better teams. And, North Texas is not one of the better teams, and that's fine. Right. But North Texas could definitely win, and they might win. We probably will win, I think.
But March, when you get into this time of year, it's about matchups.
Yes.
So how do we match up personnel-wise with their guys? And the one guy, when you look at him, is DeRuji. That guy, we didn't have somebody that could guard him last game. Shane started out on him, and he was no match. He couldn't keep him out of the lane off the dribble. Anytime he wanted to pull up for a mid-range shot, he was rising and firing before Shane could get off the floor.
Yeah.
He was wide open for threes. So that guy had a great game against us. And then we put Holston on him eventually, like you'll probably see tomorrow. But again, he was still more athletic than Holston, and that's probably one of our more athletic guys. He was still able to get into the lane off the dribble against him. So that guy does scare me, and so does the other freshman, Archibald.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's going to be the key. You pointed out that during North Texas' bad stretch, we played terrible defense. I pointed out that Louisiana Tech just had bad defense pretty much all season. They were one of the better teams in the league in defensive rating last year. And that's why they won 20 games, right? And they are mid to lower in the pack this time. They were letting UTEP get to the bucket easily over and over again. The UTEP freshman point guard, I think it is freshman point guard. But their point guard was just getting to the rim like nothing. You know what I mean? When they really had no sets, UTEP looked confused. But Louisiana Tech was like, what do we do here? They set a screen. You know what I mean? This is all fantastical basketball stuff. And I watched the UTSA game without Javon Jackson, mind you. And, what's his name? DeNicolau, who's a good player, but he's not as good as the way he was playing against Louisiana Tech, where they were letting him get anywhere you want on the floor like he's Chris Paul or something. And they were just breakdown after breakdown. That gives me hope, because when it comes down to execute, right, execution time, 3 minutes to go, rely on your defense. Are you good enough to stop? I don't think that Louisiana Tech has what it takes to get a clutch stop. Now, that's not to say that North Texas is going to execute great on offense and be the Utah Jazz of John Stockton, Karl Malone, and run a perfect play every time. But I think we can get enough, and we got a Woolridge, we got a Smart, we got a Lawson, we got guys that can make a play, and I don't think Louisiana Tech is going to – it's really going to come down to, can our guys beat their guys one-on-one late? Because I don't think Louisiana Tech is going to rotate correctly and help.
Yeah, so then it's not really about one-on-one, it's about the whole plan itself. And we struggle at times down the stretch in those situations where – you look at the last play, FIU, FAU, Draper hitting the three, Woolridge, bouncing it across the lane and finding Draper, he hits the three to win the game. So you look at, okay, so you were talking about defense, and you like us because you think our defense is better. Well, defensive efficiency, within conference play, Louisiana Tech's ranked 10th, and we're ranked 9th.
Well, I didn't say that I liked this because of our defense. I said one of our weaknesses has been our defense, but that's also their weakness, right? I mean, so it's just basically who can outscore the other one, because I don't really think we're going to face too much resistance there.
their weakness has been, you know, defense, and it has been they've given up a lot of threes. They give up a lot of mid-range shots. Those are the two areas kind of where they struggle on defense, but where they're really good is interior protecting the rim. Teams get a lot of shots against them, but they don't make a lot of shots. So if you're looking at what do teams shoot near the basket against them, it's 56%, which would come about to be about 73rd in the country. And we typically are a pretty good inside scoring team. We shoot about 63%. That would rank us about 103rd. You go back and you look at the game when we played them back in January, we shot about 65% at the rim against them, and we missed some easy shots. I think Simmons, he's gotten a lot better as the conference season has progressed. He's gotten a lot stronger at finishing around the rim. He wasn't very strong in that game, but he still scored 9 points. He still played really well. I think he might, between him and Tamara, I think that's your X factor for tomorrow. Because if Shane can come out and hit some threes, that makes him a difficult guard for a guy like Powell, who's their center, their five. Powell, he completely got lost on the screen action in that game. The pick and rolls, Simmons was wide open. Tomorrow would be the same thing, pick and pop. He would lose him in those screens. Simmons rolling to the basket. Every time he set a pick for Woolridge, he was wide open. I think the concern is how does Louisiana Tech choose to guard those screens? Because as you've seen lately, Woolridge is no real threat to shoot the ball. So you can kind of play back off of them. You don't have to be aggressive in hedging those screens. So we'll see what type of adjustments are made. I think that area is where you're going to see the biggest adjustments made for Louisiana Tech, how they guard Ryan. If they choose to lay back off of him, it's going to be tougher for us. But if they choose to be aggressive like they were in January, we have a shot to get plenty of good looks.
And that's about as good as I think we can hope for, considering the situation. I don't know. For whatever reason, I'm not scared of Louisiana Tech, and that's probably going to come bite me in the ass, I guess, you know, somebody's going to be like, you know, you should have been scared, and there we go, we lost by 47. Well, I don't control that, but yeah, you're kind of right, I guess, future person arguing with me. I will say that I don't really feel as hopeful as I once did about the conference tournament, and a lot of that has to do with the way that everybody, the way that we played in the last week and a half. And I can't really put my finger on it other than it looks like just they kind of got tired of executing it. Like everything was so hard for North Texas there for a while. Like every possession seemed like it was a grind, and I want to say they just kind of got tired of grinding in a couple of those games.
Look at how
I think
young,
that's me making an excuse for them or something. What do you think?
No, I mean, look at how young we are as a team. Mm-hmm. If you look at our experience, it would rank, you know, about 281st in the country, and there's 351 teams. So you're in the bottom half of experience, what you have. And these guys, they haven't played a lot together. They went through the stretch where, okay, you battle Middle Tennessee, you lose close. You take Western Kentucky to overtime, you lose there. You lose mm-hmm. close to Marshall. You lose close to FIU. And then you go into the FAU game. And there was multiple reasons in that game that it got away. One, Coach McCaslin, he came out and said it. He didn't do a good job of controlling the tempo in that game. There was too many guys trying to make up the deficit in one thing. And that is a concern for me tomorrow is the tempo thing. And we can get into that later. But leadership, who is the leader? Woolridge and Smart, they really didn't act like the leaders on the court. It just didn't seem like that during that stretch. And then eventually, if you're a young team and you lose that many close games, it's going to get to you. We hadn't seen it all conference play. We played in so many close games. There was bound to be one blowout. But you know what? We got blown out, and then we came back, and we blew somebody else out. So
yeah. I will say that I do think that we are in the best side of the bracket, right? We were battling for that fourth, fifth seed. I don't like facing Middle Tennessee in the semifinals on Friday. I'd rather take on, I mean, I, obviously, we'd have to go through Marshall, whatever. Let's talk about our bracket. We are in the two-seed bracket. So if we win, we take on Old Dominion. And I am more, I don't say scared, I am more concerned about Western Kentucky than I am Old Dominion. I just feel like Old Dominion, I mean, they're good. I like the way that North Texas played against them. I think that North Texas can, I don't want to say they match up well, but I think that Old Dominion plays the kind of game that we can play in. But Western Kentucky, exactly. Yeah, if they get kind of hot, you know, then they're going to run up and down the court and then it's over. I do think that Kentucky's a little bit more vulnerable defensively at times, but we saw kind of what happened against them, that they can just turn it on and they got more horses. I'd like our bracket this way because I think Middle Tennessee is a buzzsaw, and I'd rather face them in the championship when everybody's kind of ground down a little bit. But that's maybe just me.
I would have been okay with facing, if we would have gotten to the semis, with either Middle Tennessee or Old Dominion, just because the type of games that we excel in are those grind out games, those mm-hmm. tempos, because we in those games, we don't get out of control. Mm-hmm. We stay within ourselves. We play within the offense. We execute, and we try to get a good shot towards the end of the shot clock. So what does Middle Tennessee do, and what does Old Dominion do? Well, they force teams to get shots at the end of the shot clock. So that's kind of what we do. So, and you look at, like you said about Western Kentucky, those guys probably have the most talent. When you're looking at 1 through 5, they're starters.
Yeah.
I mean, they're extremely talented there. And we just didn't, our guards didn't match up well with their guards. You could see it down the stretch, like you said. When they wanted to turn it on, we couldn't guard them. So getting Old Dominion, that's fine. I think we can beat them. And actually, I think the most important game is the game tomorrow. If we get past Louisiana Tech, I would pick us to beat Old Dominion. I would feel very confident. I feel more confident about us beating Old Dominion than I do about us beating Louisiana Tech.
All right, so yeah, we're gonna try to do it. I know maybe making big promises. Greg just got after me about making these grand pronouncements. But here's what we're gonna try to do, right? Mean Green Nation come to you. We already tried this live stream. It didn't quite work out because couldn't get the audio to work, so I didn't want to mess with it. But we definitely are doing a podcast. We'll definitely do at least a podcast. Even if it's on my phone, we'll talk about it. I'll grab random writers. I'll get the Bruni kid from Anti-Daily and be like, quit accosting me, sir. And I'm going to say, shut up and talk about Mean Green basketball. That's what's going to happen. And we're gonna do some podcasting after the game, reaction, win and lose for both games. Women play also. We're going to talk about them in a second very briefly because I know, I mean, it just, you know, popularity contest here. The men win, sorry. Let's talk about the particulars. When do you need to show up? Well, if you can make the women's game, that's fairly early. It's at 2 p.m. It's the final women's game of the day against Charlotte. It's game 4, court B. That's going to be on Facebook if you can't make it. So maybe you stay a little later after work, you know, or late in the day, you turn on the game, you're watching it on your second screen at work, you know, you're typing up your TPS reports. Who knows? Then you have a little bit of time because you can make it out to Frisco by 8:30, I think, fairly easily. It's the third game of the day, Court A, and that's going to be on Facebook also. 7:10 matchup. There's going to be another game going on 30 minutes later, so if all of a sudden 30 minutes into the game it sounds like there's another game going on, there is. If you can hear it on the stream, you're like, what's going on? Why is there another game? There is another game. It's going to be UAB and Florida Atlantic. That's on Court B. If we were to win, the next game is the next day. It's going to be Thursday, March 8th, 8:30 p.m. So same time, that one's going to be on Twitter. So you just need to figure out how to watch it on Facebook, figure out how to watch it on Twitter. These are the awful ones. And after that, you just tune to CBS Sports, which may be more difficult because I don't think anybody has CBS Sports Network. They're going to turn to CBS. I know it. I know at least 30% of the old people are going to turn to CBS and be like, what's going on? Where's my Mean Green? I'm watching, you know, whatever, Kentucky or something.
I believe the way to go would be, if you don't already have Hulu, just sign up for the free 7-day trial. Hulu, I think, is the one that has CBS Sports. So
there you go.
Again, if we win that game, you would be covered for us in the championship game as well.
There you go. That's the way to do it. And we'll talk about that. If we were to win that one, we'd be at the 3 p.m. one on Friday, which is more ridiculous. The Friday, March 9th, 3 p.m. game. It's like the more important the game, the harder it is to watch. That's what's going to happen to us. And like, I was watching this on my phone at work, and now CBS Sports, what? At 3 p.m. So that, and then finally, championship game is March 10th, Saturday, March 10th, 7:30 p.m. And, you know, that if we're in that game, I think you'll know about it. Everybody will be talking about it. But that is your setup. Let me tell you about the women's game again. 2 p.m., final game, Court B in Frisco. Where Court B? That's Court B. B as in boy. And the men will be playing at 8:30 p.m., Court A. Both those games will be on the Facebook. Facebook don't pay me. I'll call them the Facebook, you know? That's how it works. That's about it for that particular part. That's the... Is there anything else? Is it kind of weird getting to the Star? I've never actually driven there.
No, it wasn't too hard. It's off the Dallas North Tollway. you know, the men's game is at 8:30, so it'll allow for traffic to die down. Parking, I don't know. You know, they said that the free lot has 950 spaces. So I don't know, like... Yeah, how many people are going to show up and that whole issue, and if parking will be an issue there?
Given the fact that they were selling tickets and, like, pushing the big plan, right, buy all the tickets, right, $125 get the whole week, all the way up until the other day, and then now Ren Baker sending out emails saying, please send a student to the game, you know, like, pay for them, they're going to send them there, going to first 950.
Yeah, I believe I saw on Twitter that the students are, they get in free.
They're like the first X number of students that sign up for this thing are going to get in free. And I think they're asking for us to donate to send a student there, you know, to pay. My point is, I don't think that it's going to be very packed. That may be an issue. You're going to hear a lot of echoing, right?
Well, let's say you have a couple hundred fans show up for each game. If they bought the tickets in the, you know, the general admission reserved, which would be behind the benches in press row, and then you have the VIPs, which will be on the other side of the court, those would be pretty full. I think if you just bought the general admission tickets, the $20, however much they are, which would be behind the baskets, I don't know. Even if it's a couple hundred people, I think it'll look pretty full. Because, you know, the Star, it only holds 12,000 people.
Yeah.
But how it's designed, the courts, the layouts, there's not a lot of seating next to the court, so it may still look like there's a lot of people there.
We'll see. I'd like them to put some seats nearer to the basket, but, you know, I just went to the Clippers game at Staples Center, and I got some seats behind there. That if you're not of a certain height, those are really difficult to see anything. Especially down the court. This is not the ideal way to watch basketball.
That's, anyway. To me, when I was looking at the setup, I was like, if you're us and you're on press row and you get stuck behind one of the benches, it may really suck, you know, if they momentum and they're jumping up and down, you're be hollering at one of the guys, be like, hey, sit down. I can't see. What is this? Let me just move up in the stands. I'll take my laptop with me. Yeah. And can we do that? But yeah, so for those, and if you get like us, probably we're going to be behind the bench, but then, you know, you can hear Coach McCaslin maybe be talking or something,
yeah,
spout out something, and you can say, hey,
remember guy from Mean Green Nation wrote about you, prove him wrong.
I'm kidding. Like, Coach, I think you need to change your matchup there. That's not working for you.
How many millions did they pay you to do anything right now, Greg? Is it 0 millions? I think that's it, right?
We're closer to one than zero, so.
So what was I going to say? So it should be fun. I think the whole thing, like Mean Green Nation, right? This little blog that maybe you read, maybe you don't read, and you definitely listen to this podcast about. We're gonna treat it as it is, right? We're there to watch your team. We're there to kind of cover the conference because the conference affects our team. On Conference USA Report, I'm going to write about the other teams because, you know, I like basketball and I'm the nerdy type. I'm going to write about other things happening. If and when North Texas is eliminated, because we're not projected to do very much here, guys. Let's be honest. if we get to the semifinals, that will be very impressive. Beating Louisiana Tech is easier than any other matchup. I think any of the Florida ones would be tough. I don't know. I'm not really concerned about Louisiana Tech. I think maybe one of the easier ones might have been UTSA, just because they're playing without Trevon Jackson. I like our little bracket setup. Sorry.
Yeah, you're not concerned about Louisiana Tech. I just did a 1,600-word preview on them.
You know, like I said, it's just the feeling inside me. I don't know.
I've been dreaming about Louisiana Tech because I've been watching them and rewatching them, and like, I love college basketball, and this is a great week. I haven't had any time to focus on the other matchups.
Yeah.
And I've just been all about this Louisiana Tech and, you know, preparing for Old Dominion if we win too, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm Tony Benford. I'm bringing my four suits. I'm bringing my four previews.
it might be because I just got back from L.A., right? We had a family thing out there. We met up with family. We were out on the beach. It was super chill, right? Very West Coast. And so I got like a West Coast demeanor over here coming back to Texas, where I'm like, hey, it's all chill, man. We're just, you know, it's fine, whatever. It's Louisiana Tech. It's not a big deal. I don't know. Here's the thing. Let's play a little game. Of the first day games, FIU versus Southern Miss, UTSA UTEP, the good guys versus Louisiana Tech, and then UAB versus Florida Atlantic. Which one of those has the best chance of getting to Saturday's game?
UAB does. They have the most talent out of the lower seeds. They have the best offense. When you look at their offensive efficiency in conference play, I think it's like third or something. They struggled there for a stretch where, you know, we beat them. They weren't playing good at all. And then they came in and they waxed Western Kentucky at the end of the season. I mean, they put up 101 points on them, which is not difficult to put up on Western Kentucky. Mm-hmm. We talked about their defense. And then they put up 91 on Marshall. But the key here is they only allowed 77 points to those teams and 73 to Western Kentucky. So if you look at UAB and their team, they're balanced because they have the outside scoring threat. They have the inside scoring threat of Coakley and Lee, and Lee can play outside as well. They have the, you know, good freshman guard, Bryant. Then you look at them on the defensive end. They're not great defensively, but when you have a shot blocker like William Lee, that changes things. So they're a team they're peaking at the right moment. Going into conference play, they get Western Kentucky there possibly in game two. They should win game one. FAU is kind of a sneaky game because FAU can play defense. So if UAB's offense gets bogged down, FAU, maybe it's an upset there. I don't foresee that. But then you get into that Western Kentucky game. I like them in that matchup. Western Kentucky, they had the game against Middle Tennessee where it seemed like they put all their eggs in that basket. You know, they had their coach Stansberry saying, you know, we don't want any of the money from the game. We're going down there for one reason and one reason only, and they got their ass kicked. So I like UAB out of the – everybody in day one, UAB is probably the best team.
Yeah, and I like the way their bracket sets up also, because if they beat Florida Atlantic, very beatable, they got Western Kentucky, and – Western Kentucky can look, and they have been, I wrote it like that, they look like the best team in the league, and then they look like they are pretenders, right, a week later. Like, that's how they've been up and down. They're almost there. Like you said, they're very talented, and when they put it all together, you're like, wow, there's no way anybody can play with this team. They score like crazy. They play good defense. But UAB can handle them, and especially in a tournament scenario where you're playing day, the next day, you got just quick turnaround. You don't really get to game plan or whatever. You just got to play. You know, that can change real quickly. And then they got Old Dominion, you know, that might be a tough matchup for them. But again, it's a weird, by that time, it's Friday, it's at 3 p.m. They will have just played at 9 p.m. the previous night. Everything, who knows what can happen?
They lost to Old Dominion during the season, 65-60, and that was at Old Dominion.
Yeah. If you care about this, ladies and gentlemen, here's net rating. This is Sports Reference. top five net rating in our conference. Middle Tennessee, far and away the best team, plus 16. Old Dominion, second, plus, is it 14.65. Western Kentucky, third, 14.29. Then there's a drop-off. You got UAB, like Greg was talking about, how good they are, plus 8.5. Then a little drop. You got Marshall at plus 5. Then Louisiana Tech, 2.19. Then UTSA, they're a negative, negative 0.61. But they don't have Javon Jackson, so they're basically a completely different team. We can just kind of scratch UTSA. Then it's North Texas. We're right there at negative 9.6. Then you got a big drop off. FIU is negative 5. So there's a big gap there. You know, we've been talking about this. Every conference kind of sorts itself this way. We've known there's a top four in talent. We knew that's Middle Tennessee, Old Dominion, Western Kentucky. We just didn't know exactly how that was going to shake out. UAB, Louisiana Tech were supposed to be the fourth team. But then,
Louisiana Tech was supposed to be number two.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so they dropped all the way to the middle somewhere in there, but they've kind of settled in top six or plus net rating, right? That's good. Their defense is not nearly as good as it was last year. I think they were plus 10 or something like that last year. Like last year, Middle Tennessee was far and away the best team, just like so clearly. Now, you know, they lost twice to Marshall, right?
But Marshall's one of those teams where you don't want to catch. I mean, when you have two guys that score the ball like they have, like Elmore and Burks, and then you have Penava protecting the rim, and then he's also an offensive threat. I mean, they kind of have like the build of a team that could beat Middle Tennessee, because Middle Tennessee, when you look at them, they are a great team, a really good team, but they don't have like horses like Western Kentucky does, and they don't have as many players as probably a Marshall does. Because, you know, you have the Conference USA Player of the Year, Nick King, and you have Giddy Potts, and my God, what has he been there for, like, 7 years or something? So you have those guys.
Yeah, he was there when Mateen Cleaves was playing for Michigan State, I believe. I think.
Yeah, so outside of those guys, who really scares you for Middle Tennessee?
Kermit Davis scares me. I think that's what
it is. Yeah, exactly. He, you know, a lot of people are pubbing, you know, Steve Henson at UTSA for Coach of the Year, and he's done a great job. But Kermit Davis, again, the expectations were high, and he delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great coach.
You know, I think, but for that Marshall loss, Middle Tennessee might be just walking into the tournament right now, right? They'll be top 25 team. I think you and a lot of other people have said that Middle Tennessee is going to have to win this thing, or at least get the championship game to be comfortable with their tournament chances.
I don't think they're comfortable at all. They have to win it to just be in. The committee, I have no idea how they're going to view Middle Tennessee. They're probably a bubble team after losing to Marshall again. So had they beaten Marshall, no matter what happened in the Conference USA tournament, they would have been in. But now that loss to Marshall probably has given some of them, the conference or the committee members, a little bit of pause. They tend to treat mid majors with disrespect. it's tough because they've had such a great year. And they deserve to be in, regardless of what happens in the conference tournament. Well, let's just say if they won their first game, got to the semifinals, they deserve to be in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think they should put them in. But I think to make things comfortable, any loss they would take has to be in the championship game by like a buzzer beater or something like that. They can't get handled by anybody, and then that would not look good. This could be a very exciting second semifinal day. We could see Middle Tennessee Marshall in rematch, right? And we could see Old Dominion Western Kentucky on Friday's games. It's too bad those games are at 12:30 and 3:00. Those are not the ideal times for these teams to play showcase games for the league. But you know, what are you going to do? Friday, any combination, is it Marshall Western Kentucky? That's a good one. There's history and there's hate there. If it's Marshall and Old Dominion, that's going to be a good game too. If it's Old Dominion, Middle Tennessee, 1-2, right? That's going to be a good one. If it's Middle Tennessee, West Kentucky, yes, That's going to be a good game also. If there's any combination of those four, I think would be good. Anybody else?
Tennessee, North Texas. I mean, there'd be a lot of fans there.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if North Texas makes it through, they could ride the wave of the hometown team, right? That's going to be great. I think the school, the program, they're trying to do everything they can. They're like, please come to the game. Please come to the game. Please come, stick some students out there, get loud, right? Everybody wear green, that kind of thing. And, you know, I'm sending my kid there. My kid knows how to do go mean green. She's loud at the dinner table. I don't know if that translates to the game, but we'll see. She knows how to say defense. That's good. She's not two yet. She's great. I feel good about our chances. That's the other part. I don't know what kind of traveling base UTSA or UTEP are going to bring. I don't know about UAB. Are they bringing anybody? Have you seen anything? Have you heard anything? Did you see a lot of people walking around that looked like they were UAB fans?
No, because I mean, it just kind of opened up. Yeah. They opened practice, started at 10 this morning. I got there around 10:30. So I think I saw some Marshall fans. I didn't have time to stick around and see a bunch of fans. Maybe they'll show up. I think they will show up just because of how their team is playing. And that's another thing. You know, the conference tournament has been in Birmingham for a while now. Mm-hmm. That may take, you know, when it's in your hometown, that pressure, you got to do well. Especially when you're high profile in the conference like UAB, the hometown expects you to play well. Well, now their team, it's not at home, so that pressure is kind of off of them right now. So that could make them a dangerous team. But getting back to it, that first game, Louisiana Tech, North Texas, I think that's going to be a pretty well-attended game. I think that, you know, should be a pretty good atmosphere.
I think we can get everybody out there on a Wednesday night to watch that game. That seems ideal. It's a good time. You know, like you said, it's not like 7 where you're like, that's traffic. I don't know if I'm going to get there in time.
Yeah, the only thing is, you know, the game would finish possibly 10:30 or later, and, you know, kids have school. But you know what? Spring break. It's coming up. Spring break's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, the other part is that if you get people there for the first half and it's interesting, they'll stay. If you get there for the first half, it's not interesting, they're gone. So, you know, we'll see what's up. Here's the other thing we haven't considered because we're sexist. There's a women's tournament happening at the same time, right? UTSA has both teams there. North Texas has both teams there. Charlotte has one. Florida Atlantic has both teams there. Old Dominion has both. UAB, which you're talking about, has both teams there. And their women's team is ranked number one. That's a big deal. Middle Tennessee, their women's team ranked 4. Western Kentucky, their women's team is ranked 2nd. And Tech's women's team is ranked 3rd. So there will be a contingent, right? You know, I'm thinking the women's basketball staff, I don't know, they're going to find time to go watch it. They'll watch the game, right? You know, they should be able. They're not going to be preparing all that time, are they? They're going to watch the game. So we'll at least see that. And I think that's what the VIP side is for, you know, family, staff, that kind of thing. We'll see. Should be fun. Should be fun. Will at least be interesting. Should be fun, at least interesting. I can get behind that. I wish we had, you know, Jason NT Sports Stats over here. I say Jason Sean. So he can talk. He goes to all the women's games, right? He can talk about Conference USA women's basketball at a much better level than I can, right? Because I've seen our team's games, but I haven't watched UAB women, you know? I haven't watched the Lady Blue Raiders. So I can't give you anything here, guys. I apologize.
I got nothing. I just stick to, you know, one side, you know.
I mean, but yeah, you got a couple kids, you know. You can't be watching men's and women's, you know. Your wife's going to be like, look, buddy, you got to turn that TV off and get over here, you know. It's not even a TV. It's conferenceusa.com or whatever.
Yeah, but I stream it to my TV, so.
Well, there you go. Turn that TV off. Change a diaper or three, you know? North Texas takes on Charlotte, 2 p.m., Court B. I'll be there. I'll at least be there for that one. After the game, if you want to say hello, let me know. Tweet at me. I think we're all going to go meet up and have a drink afterwards and say hi. all us internet friends, and you're welcome. Don't be creepy. Don't be weird. But you know, you can come by and say hi. All that good stuff. Yeah. Yes to everybody. What else do we got to talk about? Have you been following any of the spring practice? Football spring practice?
No, I've been just the conference tournament.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I know what you're saying.
Did you see the preview? Did you read? I mean,
yes, read Greg's preview. I like to minify. Yeah, I saw you wrote a little something. here's the thing, folks. I said this for a long time. At the start of any season, right, of the major revenue sports, only one program has a chance to win a national title every season, right? And that's the basketball team. You know, there is a true playoff system. North Texas, I can give you the here's the path to the NCAA title here in San Antonio, where Mean Green Nation headquarters is located. Right, you come down to Alamo Dome, Final Four. Here's the path. North Texas wins on Wednesday. They win on Thursday. They win on Friday. They win on Saturday. Right. Then they go. Next Thursday, they win that one. Then they win that Saturday. Then they continue winning, right? You just keep winning for about a month straight. Guess what? You, NCAA Final Four.
You missed. If they win 4 days and Saturday, they will be playing next week in Dayton in the play-in game.
You think they're going to be playing the team?
You know what? I mean, they could draw Wagner, or Cleveland State, who beat Wagner in their championship game, and Cleveland State is 12-22. If Cleveland State can make a run through their tournament, yeah, North Texas can do it. Cleveland State is green. Good things come from Cleveland, so I mean, hey.
You know what? That would be ideal, because I know, like, it was a handful of years ago, UTSA, I think before they joined Conference USA, before the football team started, I think, their basketball team won a play-in game, which I don't really consider part of the NCAA tournament, right? But officially, you can say, hey, we got an NCAA tournament win, right? So, yeah, if we win a play-in game, we're like, yeah, we won a first four game. Now, do the purists, like you and I, call that an NCAA tournament win? Nay.
Hell yes, I'm going to call that a win.
But if we win it, yes, I will be calling it a win. I'll be talking about, you know.
Look, I mean, here's the path. You know, we win, we go to Dayton, we win there, we get Kansas. Kansas, you know, they shoot the three really well. What do? We defend the three really well. We beat those Kansas guys. Nobody likes Kansas.
Nobody likes Kansas, no.
They're going to be the first one seed to lose to 16. It's going to happen. And if North Texas makes it, it's going to be us.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's it. Miracle win after miracle win. Roosevelt Smart raining threes down at the buzzer. You know, Shane Tamara picking up the ball, left-handed scoop from the midcourt to win the game, right, against the Dukies in the finals.
If our men's American team can win in curling, my God, anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All they play it on the court, right? They go settle it on the court. You don't got to deal with things like UCF had to deal with, where they had to battle and argue and come out with ratings and be like, oh, well, you know, I don't really think their wins were as good. If we win, we're in. It's that simple. If we win, we're in. And if we continue to win, we win the title, right? Final Four. It's possible. Anything is possible. This is your cue to sing One Shiny Moment. Ready? The ball is tipped. Come on. Come on. Come on, Greg.
Not doing it.
I'll tell you what. If North Texas wins this tournament, are you going to sing One Shiny Moment for us on this podcast?
Yes, I will.
Okay, good. I'm going to play the music in the background and everything. It's got to be as good as Luther Vandross, you know. It's got to be as good, or else we're just going to fire you from this podcast.
Oh, that's fine with me.
Is there anything else we want to say on this eve of the tournament, the conference tournament? Greg, you wrote 17,000 words.
There's a lot in there. There's a lot that I didn't go over tonight. So
yeah,
check it out. Let me know what you think. If you hate it,
Louisiana Tech is favored by 2.5. That is insulting.
Yeah, so if you look at, real quick, team rankings put out their odds. So North Texas, their odds to reach the quarterfinals, which would be beating Louisiana Tech, their odds are 32.6%. Reaching the semifinal is 5.3%. Reaching the championship is 1.3%. And winning is 0.3%. Now, KenPom gave
us... It is technically possible.
Yeah, KenPom gave us a little bit higher percentage chance. I think he gave us like 46% chance of winning the first game. And then I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head where... where it went from there.
Yeah. I think just first day lines, FIU 1-point favorites, UTSA 2.5-point favorites, Louisiana Tech 2.5-point favorites, and UAB 9-point favorites. There you go.
Yeah. UTSA started out as a 5-point favorite, and it's dropped to the 2.5 line.
I don't really know what to make of that game because UTSA is... They can shoot, but they have lots of holes on their team, but then they're playing UTEP, which I think is barely qualified to be in this tournament. You know what I mean? I think UTEP's pretty poor. They kind of caught on late.
UTEP, their last, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, their last 6 games, they're 4-2.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to overweight their... Their early part of the schedule, they have been better, and credit to them and all that. You know, they beat us. They barely beat us, though. They lost to Rice. They lost to Rice recently. It's hard for me to buy it. They blew out Southern Miss, which is weird. I don't know what to make. Some parts of this league is just like, I feel like they just roll out random dudes out there. You know what I mean? I'm like, surely that's not the same Southern Miss team that I saw a week before, right? Like, no, that's the same one. They got rolled. Yeah. What are you going to do? Be prepared for anything, right? Just go out there and enjoy yourself. Have a good time. High five. Root for your team. Enjoy the atmosphere. It's in Frisco. It could be in Birmingham. I was not going to go out there to Birmingham. And I know a lot of you weren't going to make it out to Birmingham. But here you are. It's in Frisco. It's very, very reachable. Make it a good one, because we're co-hosts, right? So, you know, be good hosts. Be good people. Show them the best side of ourselves, I think, is the best advice I can give anybody else out here. Let's all have a good time. And go Mean Green. Greg, anything else?
I got nothing for you. You said it all.
Yeah, Greg's nodding. I just wanted to see if he was going to translate those nods into a verbal thing.
I'm a man of few words.
He says on the podcast and the 17,000 word.
One guy that I want to hear talk or like show some emotion is the Justin Glover, the guy that writes all the game notes and stuff for UNT. Basketball. I think he controls their Twitter account and whatnot. Yeah. Like, you see him sitting there on the sideline, never smiles, never does anything. It's the same stoic look. Like, so I want to see like him this weekend, like, lose his crap if we, you know, win a game that we shouldn't.
You know, I don't have the seating arrangements in front of me, but I know there's a press row there, and so look out for Greg there and see what he looks like, because he's supposed to be professional, kind of be within himself. He's not supposed to cheer, right? He's not supposed to be like, oh yeah, and high fiving everybody. Just take a look out for him right there, you know? It looks like Greg cleaned up his goatee a little bit. He got a little shavy shave, right? He's trying to look good for you guys on Facebook when you watch him out there.
I'm going to be the one guy standing up hollering at the referees. What the hell is that?
Local blogger Meat Green Nation is banned. Thanks to the actions of one of their writers. That's what's gonna happen out there. We should have a nice little crew. We got four people, right, scheduled to be out there. I won't name their names because at least one of them may not be able to make it because of other commitments, and that's fine. But I'll be there. Greg will be there. We'll be trying to cover all of it. We'll be blogging as frequently as we can. So check it out. Just refresh MeanGreenNation.com. We're going to kind of post without warning. There'll be the tweets. Follow that stuff. You know, Damon, official photographer of Mean Green Nation, will be taking photos. What we're going to try to do is have, like, maybe a Flickr account. Maybe I'm going to upload them to one of these Amazon sites that I have, so that way they can be viewable, so we can just kind of get them out there to use. Everybody can kind of share in the experience. He'll tweet them out. We'll do things like that so we can all see what's going on. Excuse me. So we can all see, experience this whole Conference USA tournament together as a Mean Green Nation family.
One last thing.
Yes.
So here's the story. I'm going in, getting my media credentials. I'm like, all right, it's pretty cool. So you walk up there. He's like, all right, what you got? I was like, I told him my name. He was like, It's like, I don't know. He's like looking through all this. And I was like, wait, Mean Green Nation. Oh, okay. I know that. I've seen that one there. I was like, you don't know me, but you know Mean Green Nation.
I never heard of no Greg either. You know what I mean? That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Like he was like, I know where that's at. I've seen it. Here you are. What's your name? Oh, okay. You're right here.
There you go. Like I said, we're doing a bit. There's a lot of small blogs out there following Conference USA teams, right? There's the Daily Dragon. Fans of them. Those are the good guys. There's the Underdog Dynasty, which is whatever. It's mostly football. They kind of disappeared, right? It's Mid-Major Madness, and they kind of tangentially cover our league. There's a couple here and there. UAB has a rabid fan base. Louisiana Tech, they have a big fan base. You know, at Conference USA Media Days, they were the only people that had a radio show out there, right? Like a radio guy, like, hey, we're on ESPN 107.1 talking Bulldogs out here, right? We, the local team, right? It was in Irving. We didn't have anybody there. We didn't have nobody from NT Daily. You know what I mean? Nobody was there from our local media because we don't have any. We don't have a North Texas TV station.
Brad Vito had to be there. He's everywhere.
I mean, he was there. He didn't count, though. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. Just comparatively speaking, right, Louisiana Tech had a radio guy there. They had their beat writer guy. They had three papers there, right? Just cover the South, whatever. So you'll see them represented. And, you know, hey, Mean Green Nation. Your unofficial, official blog, the Mean Green Nation, will be there. You like that tagline? I like to mix it up. MeanGreenNation.com, the unofficial, official blog of the Mean Green Nation, right? But lowercase, though. There's lots of inside jokes there, and Greg is clearly confused. He doesn't read or listen to all the podcasts, and I'm disappointed.
Doesn't do anything for me.
All right, cool. So Greg, he bought a couple nice shirts. He pressed them up, right? He got them nice and starched. He's gonna look good for you out there, are you? Or did are you, no? I'm expecting you to.
Am I supposed to go full Jay Wright?
Yeah, I thought you were gonna look, you know, like, you know, schnazz it up a little bit, you know, three maybe a four piece suit, top hat out there in the press box. No,
A top hat with the monocle.
Yeah,
full Mr. Peanut.
Yeah, full on. Like I said, it should be fun, guys. We're trying to have fun with all of this. This is a big moment. We're leading up to it, and you know, this is a kind of a crowning achievement for the league, Conference USA, which hasn't been bad to watch. It's been pretty entertaining, even if it's weird, and even if you had to watch it on Conference USA TV and it was being played in Miami, and you weren't sure where the court ended and the beach began. See you tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're done. Coming green.